Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Viking fans, we are doing it tonight! Season 5, Episode 4, The Plan.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hello everyone!
What's Viking fans!
What up?
Oh, it's lights.
Oh, party, party.
Got the lights.
Welcome to Season 5, Episode 4, right here at AfterBuzz Studios. Thank you so much for joining us right here in the studio. You guys are watching The Plan. My name is Jakob Vinnings. I'm your host tonight, and you can catch me... Well, you guys are also hosts, don't worry. You can catch me at Jakob Vinnings on Instagram and Twitter.
I love the accent. Where am I? I'll go over here, Steve. I'm James. Thank you, sir. You guys will get to Steve in a minute. I'm James. You can follow me on Instagram, that too, and Twitter. Man, I'm having a rough night already. At AskTheNP. NP as a nurse practitioner. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
He does some really cool videos, all you people out there who don't follow him yet. I've watched your videos. I'm like, sit there and like, oh, it's a new one. And fun topics.
They are. It's true.
My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And I also want to say thank you so much on all your comments on the last video.
Yes.
I got to some of them, and a lot of you replied back again, and I haven't gotten to those yet. But again, thank you for commenting. If you're new, please comment on our videos because we totally read those comments.
We do. And wait, drum roll, please. Hold on. Drum roll. For those of you who have been watching for 5 seasons now, you may notice a new addition. We have to give you some love. Take it away, Al.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the drum roll. Hi, everybody. My name is Al Gregg. You can find me on Twitter at JamaicaHouse. And I'm just happy to be sitting here with the Vikings crew ready to get it popping.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I love it.
Wait, JamaicaHouse.doc.
That's right.
What is
Wait,
that?
Break that down. 10 seconds. What is it?
At JamaicaHouse.doc, it's a documentary I did on 90s hip-hop and dancehall reggae. JamaicaHouse.doc.
Do you have a Jamaican accent?
Every now and then I can put one on. You know, that's what I mean, man.
We want you to do the whole episode since it's
a Jamaican accent.
Yaku has an accent that he puts on just for this show.
I have an accent.
Oh, God.
No, sound like a real Viking.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that comes with the territory. Guys, tonight we have 5 storylines. We're going to start with the storyline of Kattegat, and we'll end with the York storyline because it's a big one.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So we do storylines in this whole series because they jump all over the place, and especially tonight they really did jump everywhere. So let's hit it off right away, get these guys what they want. Kattegat. So Uber is getting back home, and he is not happy. And Lagerfras is kind of embracing him with open arms, but he's saying all-out war between him and Ivar.
Okay, I got a weird comment, but anybody else, like, when they were, like, getting all cozy to each other, I go, well, wait. Well, they're not related, so could they, like,
I was thinking the exact same thing.
What?
I was thinking the exact same
thing. I was like, oh.
I thought, wait, they totally could hook up.
We are going there. Like, we are for sure going to, these two are going to bone. Because it would not be completely out of Viking territory for a little, like, pseudo-incest.
Because he's not her son.
Right? Technically.
You know?
They could seal the bond like that. I like the way that sounds.
Or sealing the bond. Ooh, yes. That would be intense. But what I thought really intense was that Lagertha, she didn't waste like any time. She just jumped right in and she was like, oh, that's the story. Well, let's make a pact, like Survivor or something.
Survivor,
yeah, and she's
exactly,
like, you have hard choices to make. So you want to make that pact?
Well, the pact is, for you guys, it's basically Lagertha and Ube against... You know, against Ivar, but then Uber has to support her against King Harald.
And Vitsik
now, because obviously the brothers aren't getting along very well.
No.
Quick note, you guys.
Yes.
I have a feeling you guys are probably on the same page as me that if Uber goes along with this pact with Lagertha, it's really like a marriage of convenience because he's never going to forget that she killed his mom, right?
He wasn't as much of a mama's boy as some of the other kids were.
It's like Ivar.
He's got a straight head on his shoulders. I think that he definitely...
Yeah.
will write this plan out.
So they're going to have angry sex.
There we go.
They will have angry sex.
Perfect, Carrie. Carrie, do you have some familiarity with angry sex? Oh, you just went right there. Yeah, I made Carrie blush again. Did you see it?
But that's so easy, though.
No, it's true. Stop. Angry okay, sex. Anyways. By so the they way, made their pact.
They did make their pact. And you guys know, the show is like all about you guys. You are our sixth host,
yeah,
right? You're with us because we got you on the live chat. We don't have our phones up here because we're assholes. We have our phones up here because we're ready to talk to you guys. And before we go too much further, your voice of God tonight, say hello.
Hey.
There he is. Steve. Hi, Steve-o. All right, so
speaking of sex scenes, so here's the thing.
Ube got one.
Torvi, however, his wife, is telling him, listen. No, Torvi is Bjorn's wife. Sorry.
Right.
So Torvi is telling Lagerfeld, listen, Bjorn is sad he's not here, but he should be the rightful next king. While on the other hand, what's happening?
Marguerite.
Oh, Marguerite. She naughty girl. Like,
you should be the king.
Got some Lady Macbeth going on. Right.
Yeah,
they're like, damn girl, shut up.
And you knew this was coming, right? Except I don't know. I don't kind of understand Marguerite's like motivation.
She's a bitch
behind all this.
It's really easy. She's constantly saying that Lagerfeld is losing power. She's manipulating her, and unfortunately, this time you got caught.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're with you, Ariadne. Marguerite is such a conniving little witch, and
push your mic away from me just a little bit.
She wasn't expecting. We kind of weren't expecting that either. Although she has been sort of setting Lagerthor up this whole time, you know.
She's been moving up the food chain. If she was a slave, now she's freed, and maybe she wants Ube to be king climber. So she could be a queen.
Quick thing, what do you guys think about Lagertha's decision to, like, you have a decision to make now that you're a free woman? Are you going to be with me or against me? As opposed to, like, I might have to, like, lock that bitch up and chop off her head for betrayal.
Right.
But she's giving her economy, she's making it her choice.
She's being a benevolent despot.
There you go.
What is that?
I busted that out.
It's
like a kind ruler.
Yeah.
And because Lagertha makes this whole, to your point, Al, she makes this whole speech about, like, well, I'm tired of betrayal, and I hate all the betrayal, and that's not what I'm about.
Anymore. Well, because it's been happening all around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I think at this point, Lagertha is losing power, so she should cut the head off the snake at any moment. Like, just, doomed, done. Nice. And then that happens, so don't talk shit behind my back.
How very Vikings of you, Yaku.
Well, hey, man.
Just be like, cut it off. not the dick.
There you go. The head. I was wondering if you were going to specify.
Of course, I have to specify. Are we done? Oh, we have the seer scene. Speaking of licking things.
No palm licking.
No palm licking tonight, guys.
I have not washed my hands yet, Carrie, so I will not make you wash my... for those of you who have not watched,
I'm going big camera.
Ray throwback.
Hey.
Every time the seer used to come on, Carrie would lick my hand like the seer.
Disgusting.
He was so surprised the first time. He's like, she's not actually going to do it. I'm like, dude,
and she did it.
We're going to do this.
Because she does that for you guys. So no hand licking.
That's dedicated.
That's gross. Today. But the seer is saying, listen, there's no hand licking, but there might be some trouble in your way in your future. Because, you know, but you don't want to know what it is because it really is that fucked up. So you're going to see Bjorn, but it's going to be terrible and you are losing power and basically you will die. Isn't that what you said a prediction for you?
It's the beginning of the end, but beginning it's the classic bad wording. He said, you'll see him, and I'm all alive or dead? Because when you see him, does not mean he's alive.
Yeah, you'll see him in terrible circumstances.
Under terrible circumstances.
So he could totally be dead.
There's no way that Bjorn will die. I'm just saying.
Predictions already.
Hey, come on, Ragnar died. Anybody's fair game.
Exactly why Bjorn wouldn't die. Because they won't kick him off the show now as well. I'm just saying from a writer's perspective.
Okay.
But he's amazing. Like, he literally carries the show at this point, I think.
Bjorn.
He's Ragnar's first son. Like, he's the shit. He's like the Illuminati sperm of Ragnar. Like, he is the Raiders of the Ark and all that shit.
Well, how's the evil sperm of Ragnar doing? Ivar the Bone Lord. I think he's carrying it, like, for the anti-hero, right?
Totally.
That motherfucker's a crazy-ass killer.
Isn't he, though? He's something.
Ariadne agrees with me about Bjorn, by the way, of, like, probably means he might be dead.
Oh. No, I don't
know. I
actually feel this is very... They killed Ragnar.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they'll kill anybody in this show.
They will kill anybody, but in a few episodes. Come on, guys. It's been one... It's been four episodes since the previous season.
So that's true.
Not saying he has to die soon or anything. Or it might be one of those close to death.
We can't kill him off yet.
If Ragnar dies and Bjorn dies, the only person left is Lagerfeld.
That's true.
That's some sad shit over there.
Yeah, maybe she. What about Bjorn Ironside, man?
Nothing can happen to him. Did you guys not? Do you guys not know this? Are you not historians? Nothing can happen.
Oh yeah. Do I need to do our weekly PSA? I'm in the tight cam, Steve. Listen. We are not historians. Well, we are just fans of the show.
Well, you say that, James, but it's hilarious because the guy in the comments in our first episode said, no shit, you guys aren't historians.
Right,
you
don't have to judge us. Right. Fair enough. So you know. Are we done with Kesha?
We don't want to talk about him, but mentioning Ivar, a lot of you in the comments last week were pointing out how Ivar's character has been like really on the rise and what that could mean. And everybody got into the more specifics, which were like, those are interesting speculations. We'll just have to see because this show is historical fiction, so... Right. Who knows what they'll do with it?
Historical fiction.
We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Let's move on to the real quick.
Do it.
What's that? Oh, is that?
We're done with Kadakat. All right,
Norway. We're gonna stay in Norway because it's kind of connected to Kadakat and Lagerfram.
It's like super fast. Okay, I actually thought this was really cool. By the way, I'm not sure how I believe in marriage, by the way. Like, I mean, monogamy is fine, whatever, but the institution of marriage, but that's a whole different show. But I did think if I ever wanted to get married, I kind of want to get married under a whale's spine.
Yeah, the skeleton. Yeah.
Right. Like, that was friggin' cool.
It's cool.
And the ring dipped in blood, all that, right?
Right, yes. And
that makes it permanent.
And the fucking green dude in the background, like, who is that?
I don't know if it's a real whale, but at the Santa Barbara Natural History Museum, they have one outside, and so you can stand underneath it.
Well, that's where I'm getting married.
There, you're like, now I know where to go.
Santa Barbara Natural History Museum.
I do not want to get married on a whale bones. Thank you very much. I'm just going to be the opposite perspective there.
But what was most important about this, right? What do you guys think? And we want to know your comments, by the way. Ariadne, we see you, babe. Everyone else who's watching, we want to know in your comments. So what is Astrid's true motivation behind marrying fine hair?
I think Astrid's playing the long con. I think she, you know, it makes on the outside like, yeah, she likes the fine wines and the jewels and being queen and everything. I think she's going to amass power, but I think her loyalties are always going to be with Lagerthot.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, she had that nice memory for
Well, yeah, the
too.
Memory, yeah. But also the moment of, like, so do you? And it's just like,
Well, wait, yes. She also had the line of, like, okay, what's that? Why whales? And then she goes, I think they're a sacrifice to the gods because they're useful.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, she's just making herself a sacrifice right now. I'm sacrificing who I am for, like, the there long haul.
That's why you're on the show. Because she's so damn smart.
Good job, Carrie. Because we would have all kind of, as gay as I am, we would still have all kind of like machismo in here right now. Like, you just fit right in, homie. But like, right, we got Carrie, you balance us out.
Oh my God,
right.
So well.
Because we're all like, why is she rings and blood and green dudes? And Carrie's like, no, she's making a sacrifice because she loves Lagerthot. Mm-hmm. Oh, of course she is.
Well, she says it too. It was just a weird piece of dialogue that was like,
yeah.
Why are you saying that?
Why are you saying she's a sacrifice? And also, they said it like twice. It came up in the vows. So like, are you sure? So we know there's going to, by her saying yes, there's going to be some cost. I like the sacrifice cost, but there's going to be another side cost she didn't plan on.
Right.
Welcome, new person in the chat. I want to say...
Takis Hudson!
Hello,
I love you too, Takis Hudson.
We do love you too.
We love you
too,
Takis Hudson.
Nice little
with Norway.
You really are wasting a lot of papers with this show.
I am. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. He takes it and puts it in recycling later.
I do. I'm the killer of trees.
Somebody loved it last week, though. They're like, and another paper!
I know. They were like, thanks for throwing the paper! Ariadne, thank you. She is sacrificing herself right now, but I still think she truly switched to Harald's side because Lagerthor says or does something bad about Astrid.
That's a decent prediction.
Absolutely. A very good prediction because I think Astrid also has that thing about not wanting to be someone's dog, like we were going to talk about with Vitzer in a little bit.
Woof, woof.
Right. That was kind of a badass line, right? Oh. So very good, Ariadne. I like that prediction. We'll get to those later, too.
Yeah.
Very good. So that's about it for Norway. Let's jump to Bjorn. Bjorn is in the Mediterranean. He just entered the Mediterranean.
Goes by Gibraltar.
Yeah, what's it called?
I'm just excited because I went there. It's Hercules, and you can go to the Cave of Hercules over by Morocco, and it's the two oceans meeting.
The Straits of Gibraltar.
Yeah.
And they are...
It's a really cool place to go if you guys ever get a chance.
They're quite famous.
They're quite, because that is literally the entry gate to the Mediterranean. Right. And an amazing empire, which is the Mediterranean.
Yeah. Which is the Mediterranean.
Europe and France and Africa, right?
Yes.
Was kind of the Romans, but I like how Cynric, to start, he was like, because Bjorn was like, I want to go to Rome. And Cynric's like, nah, you don't really want to go to Rome. If you really want some shit, you want to go to Sicily.
Because what's the end goal here? So they are looking for the biggest, most badass mofo to take down. That's what they're trying to do.
And I forget sometimes that, like, I feel like Bjorn and Harald?
Halfdan. Yeah.
Halfdan. Have the same motivations. Like, Halfdan said the last time, he's like, I just want to live. Like, I just want to party and, like, have fun.
He wants to explore, see new places.
But Bjorn is like Ragnar's son, right? Like, he wants to conquer.
He wants to do what his dad would have done.
I think they're getting the best of both worlds because they're going to enjoy this new exotic place and, you know, just, I guess, deep undercover, as we say.
Right.
And enjoying all that this new life has to offer. And probably getting them sucked in a little bit. But ultimately, I think they're going to evolve to looking for a weakness and finding a point to strike where they can finally, like, make their claim, you know, in this new world. That's what I think.
Right.
But it's definitely going to be more complicated because they're going to get sucked in. And you already see how Halfdead's, like, really liking Cassia, the ladies. Like,
he's always on the
ruler's lady and stuff. Exactly. The holy pretty nun with the singing voice.
Singing voice, exactly. And he's right in there. And they're looking for a point to strike with this new place that they're entering. This commander's, like, what is it, the castle? Kind of deal, but interesting to see in the previous episode that you guys had, he said, send your fleet back, we're only going to go further with three ships, which they did.
And look how few we have.
Exactly. Right. So first of all, that's the very serious point. You guys think that's a good thing? It's a good. What do you guys think? Do you think it's a good move that he doesn't have his army with him?
Yes,
throw it down in the comments, let us know.
Well, Cynric, I looked him up, and I'm like, dude, his look has changed so much from last time we saw him, because he had, like, long hair, and he was kind of almost a drag.
He dyed his beard again, too. He dyed his beard white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this guy looks really familiar. And I'm like, oh, yeah, duh, it was him before, but he just changed the look so much.
Totally. Before he was looking all, like, androgynous and multicolored hair.
Before he was hanging with the French. Now he's hanging with the Vikings. True. So you gotta fit the role.
And can you really trust a guy who's always hanging with different people? Bingo. Like that? Can you really trust him?
Can you trust the French? Can you trust this dude who was with the French, now he's with the Vikings? But he curiously knows a hell of a lot.
He knows a lot of languages.
About the
too.
Roman Empire and but he's
all
he's
of Europe.
Sicilians yeah. now and
speaks all the languages.
Very valuable. Very valuable.
Is he valuable or is he spy?
There you go.
Because, like, James Bond spoke a lot of love languages, but he would partner with whoever he needed to partner with to get the job done. You know what I'm saying?
So what is his job? I think his job, James, is to survive. I think he's pathetic. He wants to survive. He'll do anything to survive. So if that means to... Right now, being with the Vikings is exactly just
survival.
That.
Survival.
He's surviving. Yep. But as soon as he gets a chance, he's going to strike.
Speaking of taking your chance, what about when Euphremies or whatever kissed Bjorn?
Oh, the cheek kiss, the greeting, and they were like,
in his eye.
Bjorn was like, right. What?
Bjorn was like,
this is not how the Vikings do it.
At least it was only one side. I was gonna be worried if it was like both, and he'd really be like, whoa.
But I was waiting. I was waiting for the full on, because you know the Romans and the Greeks, they were like a little fluid with their sexuality, you know, to say the least. And I thought maybe he was just going to jump right in. He was like, who's this blonde, like, devil Viking
strapping
thing?
Young,
like,
man.
What if Bjorn just
And he's like I've met that. Vikings before.
Right. Yes. He was like, oh, fun. Right. They could have played with that.
They got excited. They're like, Vikings.
Right. He was. He's like, I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry you're only here to trade.
Hi.
Ooh. what do Vikings do? I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. You never know. I mean, these people are from a different country. You don't know. They might be up for anything.
Yeah.
In the comments, Adriadne is saying Bjorn, she doesn't know if it's a good thing that he doesn't have his army.
Right.
Adriadne, I'm halfway in between. I think it's good because I think the trader idea really is going to pay off. Because if you really think about it, that even in the small castle, I know they're on their way to see Zedit Allah, but in the small castle, I mean, he's right there with the king, with his bodyguards. It's going to take 2 minutes. These guys are ninjas, Viking ninjas, and then everybody's dead.
Totally.
In the command center.
Yeah.
And the town is theirs.
Because did you see how fast he took the sword from Euphremies or whatever?
So
like, he, like, took one step, and the next thing you know, like, sword was that dude's throat. Done. Like, Bjorn's cool. He's good. He's battle tested. Very smart to go in there. I'm not sold on Cynric whatsoever, particularly when he was up there with the nun.
Well, you have to say with the nun, James, he was giving them some valuable information regarding the sitch, what's going on, and all of it seemed to pay off and is true at this point. Right, guys?
I mean, I hope so. I love how the nun, I don't think is a nun.
I think there's a lot more going on there.
There's a ton more, because she was like, no. Oh no, we're going to Africa.
And you're going because you promised me.
Yeah, but that Kyrie, though.
The what?
But what she's saying, you know, it's nice enough to disarm everybody, right? No suspicions?
Right.
Oh, I'm super suspicious of her, though.
Well, look, she speaks way too many languages to be a nun. And she, first of all, speaks that language. And she's too demanding. And my question is, why does she want to go see Sayyid Allah?
She's asked multiple times to go.
Yeah, but why? We know that
he kidnapped her. Yeah.
She wants to be queen of all the Mediterranean.
But maybe she just wants to go home. Like, maybe her intentions are not that crazy because he kidnapped her, right? Wasn't that the story? He kidnapped her.
From
the Byzantine Empire.
Yeah, but it's just not...
Which is not Zayed Allah.
But she goes to the next powerful person and be like, take me back home.
So everyone's just trying to get to the most powerful person, basically.
Yeah. Everybody's just bed hopping all the way up the ladder.
Basically. That should be the name of the show. Like, who's the most powerful? Right.
So this ties it all together. The commander, the nun, and Bjorn and Halfdan all together are now off to go see Sayyid Allah in their boats. And as they're cruising across the Mediterranean, across to Africa, which is where I'm from.
The motherland.
They are eyeing each other.
Shout out.
Yep, shout out. Shout out to me, I guess.
To you. You are from the motherland.
The mother continent.
Oh, so this accent is
so fake. Basically, the Vikings went to Africa, made it all the way down to South Africa, and I am, like Ragnar is, my lineage.
No, he ain't your damn lineage. They didn't make it to South Africa.
Oh, stop.
Did the Vikings really? All right, whoever y'all out there that are historians that you'd like to put us on blast for not being historians... Did the Vikings really make it to South Africa? I mean,
prove me wrong.
There's a gang of white people in South Africa.
We need to get your Ancestry.com going on right now, man. We'll run that.
Yes, we do.
We do.
Whoa.
Well, that's about it for the Mediterranean. These things are going fast.
Yeah, are you? Am I touching Ragnar?
Ariane's chat agrees that the nun wants to go home as well. Ariane believes that as well.
Nun wants to go home. Meaning she came from Sayyid Allah's place. Oh, she wants to go home to where she was taken from with the help of Sayyid Allah.
Maybe with the help of Allah. Right.
Yeah.
Carol Gonzalez is asking, what does savage mean? I can tell
Depends on the context.
Yeah. James, do you want to tell Carol what savage means?
Carol, I don't know if you want to know what my definition of savage means, but.
Well,
in terms of the Vikings, I don't actually, it's a good point. Like what Al was talking about,
You got it.
I think everyone is savage. This is like the state of the world right now in terms of everyone is needing to be savage. Lagertha is savage with her pact with Ube, with I think her little mind benevolent despot thing with Marguerite. Like Bjorn is savage because he just wants to take over the Mediterranean. Like this whole, maybe that's the new name of the show.
Savage.
Even the Christians are savage. They're like savagely would just want to kill anybody who's not Christian and
have all these visions.
Yeah, the bishop, he's out of control. That's like
we're getting to the bishop. Let's quickly jump to Floki and then we're going to tackle this huge.
I thought we saw a preview where he was with other people. So is that like way in advance?
Yes,
then?
We saw a preview on the end of episode 2.
Yeah, okay. Because I was like, I thought he was going to bump into some people. I was waiting for that to happen. No. And it doesn't... I'm curious what he's eating.
Because
maybe there's plants.
I said his famous
there are mushrooms. No animals so far on the island that we've seen.
Mushrooms. Right, what is he eating?
Oh, yeah, wait. Where do you think he is? We were talking about that before.
Iceland?
You're saying that because you watched the episode before.
I swear, I just thought of that.
I just thought of it on my own.
No.
But how cool, I'm sorry, but how cool was that at the end? Sorry, I'm adjusting myself in my chair here. How cool was that at the end when Floki looked back at the mountain, like the volcano on fire, just from like a geography nerd standpoint?
Oh, that place
is
beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah. And speaking of beautiful, just on a very literal point, might I add that Floki looks extremely young and beautiful.
He does.
If you guys can remember in the previous season how Ragnar was aging, he didn't look good. And I mean, I know he went through a whole lot, but Floki looks good.
Well, he's in the land of the gods.
I was thinking, though, that Finher and Bjorn are getting major sunburns. I don't know if you guys noticed. That whole scene, their skin tone is way more red. But I'm like, because they're in the sun and they have no sunblock and they're not used to maybe being in that kind of sun.
That is amazing.
Also,
I love that.
With Floki's bald head, I kept thinking, like, that actually seems like a horrible idea for Vikings to be bald-headed on purpose because it's cold.
It's cold.
And most of your heat goes through your head.
It's
so.
Very cold.
Is that true? I heard if you're in a sleeping bag, the heat escapes through your head, and somebody said, it's not true.
change.
It is true. So your body surface area, so when we do those calculations or whatever, you do tend to lose a lot through your head.
Depends there's how all, clever you are.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of actually metabolic activity going on up there, like lots of action. So 40% of all of the stuff you consume actually gets used up here. So it's working hard, so it's burning off a lot of heat. There's your science lesson for the day.
Thank you, James.
You're welcome.
At Ask the NP.
Thank you, voice of God, at Ask the NP.
So now, Leah Floki, before we go, so he wants to go home. He wants to go home. He wants to bring more people to the land of
True
God, more
believers.
Yep, exactly, Kerry. He wants to bring. He wants to build a pure empire, a place where only the God's people live. So he's coming back. He fixed his boat. He's got his water. He's waiting for the tide to come in. The volcano sent him off, and he's going back.
Question is, can he remember how to get there? Because he got there because
that
he got lost.
That is exactly what I wrote down. How the hell is he going to get home, and how the hell is he going to find the place again? Because he was unconscious when they found it.
And he threw the guiding rock thing into the damn otter.
That wasn't clever now, was it, Floki?
Right. No. You're so dumb now, Floki. I was thinking, though, through the whole Floki thing, and they really play it up here, how crazy people get because of religion. And I'm not necessarily trying to go there right now. I know the state of the world we're in. Sometimes it's just nice to watch Vikings and then watch us and not think about the world. But like, motherfuckers get crazy about religion and do crazy stuff. And look at, this is a nice transition into
very
Eggman,
good.
Right?
Please.
Like, Floki's crazy about religion, and so is this dude, man.
Hemund, he is very crazy. And Adriadne is saying she has so much to say about Hemund. So go ahead, Adriadne, start typing away. Let us know what you think about him. There's a huge power struggle here between Hemund and Æthelwulf.
Yes, finally, there's this handoff there. I was waiting for that.
Yeah, weren't
to
you guys
happen.
Finally glad that Æthelwulf finally checked him? He's like, yo, you've been showing me up, you've been shouting me down, like, I'm the king, motherfucker.
Right.
You
know, basically.
I clapped. Yeah. I was like, yes.
And I also didn't think it was going to stick, though. Like, I thought Hemund was going to do some crazy stuff, like knife him up through the middle.
I think he will. Something like that soon comes.
I'm humble, and then Æthelwulf's like, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
No.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
Æthelwulf, for me, that whole situation where he was writing, I wasn't waiting for him to do anything because he's going to do something later on. And deep down, Hemund is laughing inside. And everybody else knows it as well. Because Æthelwulf has not been in charge at all this whole time. But then I also must say, we followed Hemund's plan the previous time and it was a disaster. So maybe that gave Æthelwulf some
He should have
confidence.
Said that. He's like, so your plan failed last time, by the way.
Exactly. So the plan is now.
That, actually.
He should have.
I wish he would have come out a little bit and just been like really let him have it. Mm. Like, he kind of let him have it in that scene, but I wish in front of everyone he'd have been like, we listened to you and now half our army is dead and now you want me to listen to you again? Like, he should have put him on blast a little bit more.
But the plan is good. The plan, which is the title of the episode. Nothing, Steve? Never mind. The plan is to let these guys in the castle. We're going to cut them off from all resources, have them basically starve. Adriadne is saying, somehow I think Hemund will try to kill Æthelwulf to become king.
Very possible. Well, and Lorey says, the gods will guide him.
Yeah, right, and then she laughs.
LOL.
I'm with you, Lorey. Well, because he keeps having these visions, like kind of like Floki and his mushrooms.
I don't know if he actually has them, because Floki, we've seen him. Hemund's like, I had a vision, quote-unquote, for those listening.
And I had a vision that a Mercedes is going to be waiting for me when I get outside, so I'll let you guys know what happens with that.
You guys not manifest positive thinking manifestation?
I mean, it's one thing to try to manifest some positivity or, say a prayer.
Yeah.
Like, hashtag pray for whoever.
Southern California.
Pray for the Saxons. But, like, no, you can't just be like, I had a vision and then this is our plan. Like, this is war, dude.
Well,
like,
it is a war, but it's a great fucking plan. Everybody, that's what they did back then.
No, the starving out is actually a decent
plan. It's a good plan.
That one's a good plan.
Oh, we're talking about the first plan. Sorry,
but I do like that they didn't send any scouts into the castle to check it. They just go, let's all go in. And even the king's at the front of the group.
Well, the scouts already knew that the castle was empty.
No. Nobody walked inside yet.
Okay, so they walked in for the first time.
I would send a small group of people. You guys explore. Come back.
Come back. Right. So because at this point, people are starving inside. There's sickness. And there really is sickness because that's what the Vikings said, right? But now, Ivar is one step ahead. He knows knows the whole plan. So he's now burning. What's he burning? He's burning...
Like fake parts of what? Animals?
Animals.
My question is, what happened to the dead bodies that really did die or succumb to disease? What happened to all those bodies?
They were burned, maybe. Maybe they were burned.
Maybe that's the one they were burning.
That's what I'm betting on.
I thought they were going to be like all over the street.
Yeah, no, I'm chiming in. Yeah, that's definitely what I'm betting on.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So the meat had to come from somewhere, and they definitely wouldn't like just, you know, burn what they have to eat. That wouldn't make any sense at all.
So in fact, they were actually burning the bodies of their dead.
Yeah,
like the Saxons thought they were.
Right.
But so maybe they weren't actually wrong.
But maybe they were making it a longer process, so it made it seem like there was more.
But traumatic. They were pretty specific about why are we faking burning the bodies for dead?
Yeah, because that time they were totally faking.
Yeah, they were faking. So right. What I think is that maybe it's not in the religion or anything to do that. So they're either burning, they were still horses when they got in there. They're either burning rats or horses. And woods and straw.
There
and
was
whatever.
Some straight up arms.
No,
going
there
in those
was
fires.
Blood. I mean, right. It was blood on their hands.
Hundreds
yeah.
of people that was dead in that castle. Yeah, hundreds. So let's just say they burned the English.
Yeah.
Or they right. They burn, and, I'm down with that.
And so they're tricking the people, saying okay, obviously the plan is working, which brings us to the scene where they are like power struggle and go if yourself, you know, between the king and Haemon.
Oh, also we need to comment that they got reinforcements.
From Northumbria. That's correct.
They are. I kind of forgot about Northumbria since we killed off Ayla.
Yeah, I didn't think there was anybody left.
Right, and Judith's like relationship with Northumbria. Like,
is that her brother, Manel?
Cousin.
Is
that her cousin. She said her cousin.
Okay. Yeah, because that's... Ayla was her father.
Ayla was her father, mm-hmm. right, and Northumbria and Ecgbert took them over, and it was like season late three, early four. And so I totally forgot. They just like randomly show up too with the cousin, who was kind of cute in a, like a Scarface kind of way.
Mm-hmm. And he's totally like, I am here for you, king, and I'm going to do everything. And,
it's like, and once again, okay. Leave it to Carrie and I to make it sexual.
Yeah.
Because he was all like on his knees and was like, oh, hey, Ethelwolf,
no,
I'm going to do whatever you want for you.
I'm still waiting for Judith and Haemon to possibly get it on.
Judith
no,
and
she
Haemon.
Wasn't really well when they first met. I totally thought so.
That is so,
but now it
plausible.
Feels a
it's
little less because she wasn't really.
That's going to happen. That's literally going to
so?
Happen.
All right.
If it doesn't happen, I'm going to be shocked. Yeah. I'm going to stop watching. Now, just as there's a power struggle outside the castle grounds, there's a power struggle inside as well because Vitsik and Ivar are struggling with each other a little bit.
Big
and,
time.
Yeah, big time.
And this is Rhiannon. We see you, by the way, in the comments. And those of you who are watching, by the way, in the replay of this, please also comment below. We are some weeks we're better than others, but we definitely try to get back to your comments, at least like them. And we do appreciate what you guys say, and we take that feedback into the show. So, Rhiannon, yes, Ivar. I mean, I feel like Ivar's, contrary to what Yaku says, Ivar, for me, is the star of the show. And he was a really big part of this episode.
Also, you mentioned he's getting even... he's showing his intelligence even more because he was saying he was using plans from the Romans. That I'm like, where did he get
that? But
what is
that plan? We don't know. Yeah, it's a secret plan
reading?
That we don't know.
Well, that's for us to see next week. He's also walking around now, which is
well, he had his
amazing
thing.
He's got his like
crutch thing.
Metal boots or whatever.
Yeah.
And what was he telling?
Which
Victor?
I'm still curious of, like, how do you like physically?
Those don't work. We had this whole conversation last episode. We were like, you need core strength. And if you've been crawling around for, what is he, probably 24?
Yeah.
All he has then.
Crawling around for
12.
He's got like a 12 pack.
So you think that's all he's got because he's been crawling around?
Yeah.
I was wanting, though, with Ivar, because I love him and I love that he's crazy. And I think he has to be as crazy as he is. But I sort of wanted him to reward Vitserk just a little bit for sticking around.
Yeah, like, thanks, man. Thanks for being
here.
He's
being an absolute dick.
And dickhead 100%.
Yep. So did Vitsark make the right decision by going with Ivar?
Yeah, he's like, gods, give me a sign. And it's like,
I feel so
shit.
Bad for him.
And the sign was the arrow was, coming out of his head.
That's not a good sign, right?
That's why I'm like,
no,
he's gonna die.
I still think he ultimately made the right decision. I feel like Ube is doing that whole, like we were talking about Savage thing, bed hopping thing. Like, Ube's gonna just do whatever because he knows he's fucked, by the way, sorry for the F-bomb, Steve, from Ivar, because he left Ivar, and now Ube's like...
He left Ube for Ivar.
I mean, Ube... No, I think Ube leaving Ivar.
Yep.
I think Ube, going back to Kattegat, I think Ube knows that his day is coming when Ivar is going to, like, knife him.
Turn on him.
Totally. I mean, they're already at Ube's, like, I'm at war with Ivar. What he's really trying to say is, I'm scared shitless because Ivar is going to eventually come for me. You know what I mean?
I was disappointed, James, when the first battle was happening in the castle and Ivar was sitting there on the ground and he's like, Just all he does is scream. It's yeah. Like, do the crocodile, man.
No,
just
he scares people.
Oh, just do it. Just like
he didn't have to do anything, and they didn't touch him at
so
all.
So was are you talking about last week?
Yeah, because he wasn't here, so he didn't get a voice
out. Oh, that's right. Well, that happened last week
when he was sitting in front.
Oh, sorry, I just watched that episode like 2 hours ago.
When he was sitting in front of the wagon.
Yeah. Was that not this?
No,
Carrie and I had a totally different take on that.
Yeah, we're like, he is so badass. Oh, nobody's like gonna touch him.
I would have shot him with arrow right there. What an asshole!
But he was so powerful that yes! like no one. They were. He scared all those Saxons.
Like, this motherfucker is crazy.
Crazy, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't touch.
But let's get on with this story. So basically, the English are entering the city. Like Carrie said, they're just blasting in there. No scouts. The city is deserted. There is rats and horses.
Above ground rats.
Above.
So what is the significance of that? Ground. Rats above ground. What does that mean?
Something is in
Shit's
the sewers.
Shit's going on down in the sewers.
Okay. Bingo.
Either they're down there. There's a chemical or fire or something to make the rats leave.
Wait,
there.
Did you go like green fire from Game of Thrones? Is that what that stuff's called, right?
No, but that's Cersei a good example.
Put fire like, under leave! The city, right? Everybody get up. Yeah. It's kind of like
animals leave an area, you know it's dangerous.
Which is someone who is not from California. When I came out here, when I was like, what do I do with the earthquake? You know, everyone was like, oh, well, if the animals freak out, like you should
freak out too.
Freak out yourself. Yeah. So that's where my first thought went to. I was like, well, the rats are all upstairs.
I was thinking the rats were eating the bodies. They were leaving the bodies in there, maybe. It's just like pests and sickness and disease. This place is deserted. Well, obviously, that's not what it is, because the rats are, they're not supposed to be there. Now, the next question is, like, this is York. York is a very big city. It's a very old city.
Mm-hmm.
The city must have a sewer system. Yeah. Or is it just built on, like, solid rock?
I'm curious about their underground system as well. Like, how developed is it?
Where does the poop go?
I don't know. Look, the Romans had their viaducts and all their kind of craziness, but I actually don't think the Saxons...
I don't think they're that.
I don't think they had, like, sewer systems for poop necessarily, but I think that, you know, they just used to just build cities on top of each other.
You are going
to
be blasted in the comments.
Bring it, historians, bring it. Let's do this.
Yeah, please help us
out. But tell it, because this would then answer our questions, right? Yes. Do the Vikings actually have a place to hide underground? And is that why the rats are?
I think that's the main takeaway for this episode that I want you guys to put in the comments for us until next week. Make sure to, by the way, guys, we're on iTunes as well. So if you do listen to us on iTunes on your way to work, in the car, make sure to give us a 5 stars on there just to show some love. But let's get to some predictions.
Well, hold on.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
I just saw a snake. I chased it out of the room. You guys are good.
Well, two things. Rihanna in the chat says, I absolutely agree with you. James, Ivar is the star of the show, in my opinion. Thank you for answering my question. You're welcome. And says, we rock. You rock.
You rock.
Something that's interesting that this show has adjusted a lot, which a lot of you have commented in the chats, is ages of the children and characters of technically combining people and separating.
Yeah.
So Lorraine says, Ivar is supposed to be younger or the same-ish age as Gunther. And it's weird how they have made Torvi's kid younger. So they've adjusted some people, and then some people are saying, a lot of you said it last week on the comments, which is great. So that's where I'm also curious on like how they'll adjust the history because they've changed people's, where they are as siblings and such.
Along with that sort of adjustment, I think we just got to put it out there about the timing, right? That was actually everyone's biggest complaint this last season of Game of Thrones, right? They're like, how did what's-her-name get up there with the dragons that fast? Like, I'm the same way, So it took,
how did Floki build this boat so fast?
It took.
Did Floki
build it like that? That sound?
Yeah, I love that. That was his little boat tingle thing. Yeah.
But like, so wait, did Bjorn really get to the Straits of Gibraltar in the same amount of time that Ube got back to Kattegat? Isn't that a much shorter distance? Like,
are we time leaping here with Ragnar 7 years past from one season to the next? Like.
Totally.
So maybe there's some time gap shift, but obviously they're also going to write the story, the writers.
Oh, or they're not actually playing it as chronologically as we view it, too.
Only complaint with that is that in the previews of the episodes, we appear to have this like great coming together, right? So it's going to be Lagertha and Ube versus when Ivar goes back to Kattegat, and then Bjorn's going to have to come. So if we're all going to be in the same place at the same time... I hope they fix the timeline for me, or I just gotta suspend my disbelief and like fuck it and just be like, hey,
it's fiction.
It's not history. It's fiction.
It's a TV show.
Okay, good. Can we get to the?
Oh, yes. Someone's wants it. All right, bring him, Steve.
And now you're after TV predictions.
There's one, and there's another. Oh, that was an excellent one. Good job, Steve-O.
Well, you seem so excited about predictions. You get to go first.
Why don't you start, Mr. Prediction
Boy?
Yeah,
he's like, predictions.
Mr. Prediction Boy.
We want your predictions, by the way, too. This will buy Yaku a little bit of time.
Yeah, no,
Rhiannon and Lorraine, Ariadne, anybody else out there?
You guys always give such good predictions, so make sure to throw it on, on the screen there. We'll
please
definitely
do. Yeah.
And read up. And can we please figure out how these guys can call in again next week or something?
Yeah.
Steve, we need to. We'll make sure you can call in next week. So make sure.
That's a big prediction.
Yes, that is a big prediction. So get your predictions on the screen there. My prediction for next week is that I was thinking it, like you said, I think Uber and Lagerfeld is absolutely going to have fornification and or sex, like normal people would say. And I also think that the Vikings is not underground.
Okay.
I think that the Vikings are outside the walls and it's actually going to turn the plan on them because there's literally nothing left in this castle. So if they are trapped inside, they're effed.
I'll piggyback off that. I was thinking that as well, because I'm like, as soon as they went in, I'm like, they're going to shut the doors. But those walls aren't terribly high that they could make some sort of ladder to climb out and over, unless the Vikings are all waiting outside to shoot them all, or axe them, whatever, and shoot with, like, bow and arrows, guys. So...
not with
AK-47.
Come on.
They haven't
they would get them some way, shape, or form. But I am thinking more likely there is something more underground. How elaborate that is, I am unclear. I am leaning for... I do think it'd be really interesting, awkward, and strange if Ube and Lagertha hook up. I think Astrid is in it, long haul, undercover, double agent, and Ivar's crazy.
That was a lot of predictions. I'm riding with your predictions. I'm riding with Carrie's predictions as far as like them hiding underground, some type of sewer system, whatever it is, underground cave, caverns. We all know it's a trap. It's just like, where are they going to come from?
Yep.
Back to Vitsark and Ivar still teasing him, woof, woof, call, you know, just straight punking him in front of everybody. I think Vitsark is going to have to find a way, and he will step up and assert himself at some point this week. Because he's not going to just sit around and be his little biatch the whole time.
Yep. I like it.
I like Roll Ray. I think we'll start to see Alfred rise up more.
Alfred the Great.
Because we all know that Alfred and Ivar historically was the two big powers opposing each other in England.
Yep.
He's showing some good signs because he's being very smart. He's making good suggestions. Ariadne says that same predictions before, but going towards Haemon will actually kill Aeth the Wolf and his family to claim the throne. Possibility. I don't think that's impossible.
Do you see anything else, Al?
That's fine.
That's it.
Okay. I was like, I'm good. You know what? So I'm piggybacking off of Ariadne. Actually, So, I can see that happening, Ariadne, but I actually think the person... Because Hedman's going to die, right? He has to. They need to kill... my prediction is someone big will die next week. Because no one's big's died yet.
Right.
And it's about time they kill somebody. I don't think it will be Bishop Hedman next week, but he will die this season at the hands of Alfred.
It'll be his first
big, like, this is how they're going to be like, don't fuck with Alfred, because he's, like, finally going to take this dude down, I think, in honor of his dad, or in vengeance of his dad. What so I'm kind of with you.
What about the other brother, James? The Aethel Red.
I don't feel he does much, man.
Exactly.
He was standing there. I don't know if you guys noticed. He was, like, holding his arm, like, whatever.
No one even knows how to pronounce my name.
Yeah, we're all like, who are you?
Aethel Blue, Aethel Green. No, Aethel Red.
Aethel Won't.
Before we leave, can we everyone in the comments and you guys watching and you guys are with us, we are all having a conversation, can we please show some love to Al for his first show? Excellent job.
Thank you. I'm feeling the love.
Welcome
thank you, everybody.
To the family.
I appreciate it. Being down with the squad. Love it here. Appreciate it. Thank you. You're and by the way, my full name is Alfred, as in King Alfred. So maybe it's meant to be. Hopefully I'm like meant to be down with the squad.
Excellent.
Down with the squad. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Make sure to throw some comments down. Oh, in the comments. So tell hi to Al. Say, hey guys, hey, how's it going? Thanks for joining the show. Be nice, right? Say hi to all of us and then let us know your predictions for next week. Let us know what's going to happen. My name is Jaco Vinnings and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jaco Vinnings.
At Jaco Vinnings. My name is James Simmons. You can find me and ask me all the stuff you're too scared to ask your MD at AskTheNP on Instagram and Twitter.
Oh, I love this other prediction, though. Rhiannon says that Ube will turn on Langerthal and side with Ivar and Fritzerk and avenge their mother's death. Ooh, that's a crazy one. Switch up. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane, K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. I'm going to take a picture. I technically had a very similar necklace to, there we go, my hair.
Halimund.
Halfdan.
Halfdan. Thank you. Halfdan. I'm like, we had our, it's,
Who's going to screw the nun? Just saying.
I can't say it's, any it's words Thor's right hammer. Now. Thank you. It's Thor's hammer, and I got it in Norway. So.
Nice. Very good. All right. Shout out to Rhiannon. Is that how you say the name? Yeah. Rhiannon. For giving me a welcome. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Lorraine, everybody down at the squad. My name is Al Gregg. Alfred Gregg. You can follow me on Twitter at JamaicaHouseDoc.
Nice. Bye, guys.
Thanks good night.
Love you guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.